You're listening to The Hour of the Time, and I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, honey.
Night.
Night.
My country is of thee, sweet land of liberty. Of thee I sing, land where my father died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. My native country be land of the noble free. Thy name, my love, I love thy rocks and hills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart is rapture-filled like that of a
ladies and gentlemen, some people have called in to question our revelation last night that the head of the Communications Center in South Dakota for the Tri-States Militia is a paid FBI, that's Federal Bureau of Investigation informant. But it is absolutely true. We found out about it as soon, and I mean as soon, almost instantaneously, when the Tulsa Sunday World of Sunday, April 7, 1996, hit the streets. In the city, state section, page A6, page A16 and A18 by Bill Swindell, World Staff Writer. Headline, Militia Coordinator on Federal Payroll. Testimony reveals that a South Dakota man who operates a militia communication center is paid $1,775 each month to keep the FBI informed. The text of the story. The Federal Bureau of Investigation is paying a militia member $1,775 a month to run a South Dakota communication center that an agent says will let the federal government better understand the workings of the burgeoning movement and possibly prevent tragedies. That relationship was revealed fully during testimony for the bombing conspiracy trial of three members of the Universal Church of God that began last week in Muskogee. This is the trial of Willie Ray Lampley and two of his associates. John Parsons is a tri-state militia member based in Burke, South Dakota. Now listen to this, folks. This is right from the testimony in the trial. Parsons testified Wednesday that Willie Ray Lampley, one of the defendants, came to South Dakota in August and asked him to help blow up buildings. Parsons also revealed how, as a former truck driver, he came to run the Tri-State's Communication Information Center and what role the FBI plays in assisting a movement that some perceive as hostile to the federal government. We feel we're here to defend the Constitution, he said. Again, this is John Parsons speaking. Parsons has run the center in an office building on the main street of Burke for less than a year. He said the center has two phone lines, three phones, two computers, two faxes, and an 800 number. The center is also on the internet. Parsons said he is connected to 900 militia-type units in 48 states, which I can tell you right now is a barefaced lie. No one is in connection with 900 militia units in the 48 states or anywhere else. The center's purpose is to check out the many rumors that militia members phone, fax, or email in, and sometimes, with the federal government's help, discern if there is any truth to them, and then relay that back to the militias. Parsons testified that he sold some personal items to help fund the center and has gotten some donations. Parsons also is paid $1,775 in cash each month, which is reported to the Internal Revenue Service by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, said Special Agent William Grode, who is based in Rapid City, South Dakota. Parsons has been paid for 7 months. Grode testified during the Muskogee trial. If not for the payments, Parsons testified he would not be able to run the center on a full-time basis and would have to return to truck driving to earn a living. Let me repeat that, ladies and gentlemen. This is out of his own mouth. If not for the payments, Parsons testified he would not be able to run the center on a full-time basis and would have to return to truck driving to earn a living. Under cross-examination by defense attorneys, Grode defended the government's payments to Parsons, and I guess he would. The reason for trying to keep him in there is I feel he has become a calming voice for these militias across the country, Grode testified. Grode said his relationship with Parsons has allowed the federal government to defuse three possibly dangerous situations. This is the first time the two have testified at a trial about their efforts. Both Grode and Parsons testified that this is true. John Parsons is denying that now. However, ladies and gentlemen, anyone who is able to get his signature to volunteer to allow the Internal Revenue Service to divulge his income for the past year will see that this is true. We also found two other people who were sitting in that courtroom listening to the testimony who are in total agreement with this article. They heard the testimony of Grode. They heard the testimony of John Parsons. It is not fantasy. John Parsons can deny it until the moon turns blue. He is a paid informant of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and he has admitted under oath to receiving $1,775 in cash each month for 7 months from the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The Tri-States Militia has been totally, completely, and thoroughly, and irrevocably compromised. Not only that, every militia and every person who has communicated with other militias or with the Tri-States Militias through this communication center has been compromised totally, completely, and irrevocably. Do you understand what that means? Parsons also told the court that he learned of a death threat against Lampley that allegedly came from the Texas Constitutional Militia and passed it to Grode. Grode testified that he relayed that information to an FBI agent in Muskogee who warned Lampley about the threat. Grode said the FBI had asked him to make contacts within the militia movement after the Oklahoma City bombing, quote, to understand better what's going on, end quote. Grode paid Parsons for a trip the militia member took throughout the Southwest to determine the validity of a threat to bomb a building in New Mexico. Parsons testified that he made many contacts in his seven-state journey. He was paid $500 a week for 3 weeks on that trip, as well as money for telephone expenses. Grode testified all of the payments were made by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We have become friends, Parsons testified, of his relationship with Grode, but he added that the two don't work together. I got news for you, John Parsons. When you accept money in any amount, you are working together. Not only are you working together, you are working for whoever pays you. And when you are furnishing information, that is called informing. You were a paid informant. You are now persona non grata. Grode said there are some things that Parsons does not discuss with him, including rosters, training sites, or meetings of militia groups. The agent added that he does not consider Parsons an informant. Ladies and gentlemen, the FBI does not pay anyone anything who is not an informant, and especially $1,775 cash each month without obtaining rosters, training sites, meetings, schedules, agendas. Parsons said that they discuss philosophies. I don't know of a philosophy in this world, ladies and gentlemen, that the FBI will pay you $1,775 a month to hear. I don't know of a philosophy in the world that the FBI will pay you $1 a month to hear, or even a dollar a year. Do you? Grode says he gives Parsons a view on how law enforcement officials may perceive a particular issue or rumor, and Parsons said he gives the agent a militia perspective on topics in which the federal government may be interested, and I bet you can guess what that is. Parsons said he did not agree with Lampley's philosophy and that he had arranged a meeting between a sheriff who was working undercover and the defendant. The sheriff, who was working undercover, ladies and gentlemen, as much as I dislike personally Ray Lampley's philosophy, and as much as I hated his attempt to instigate patriots to rise up and make a first strike against the United States government and kill everybody in government, I have to tell you this, that Ray Lampley was set up by this sheriff who was working undercover, and it wasn't a sheriff, it was a sheriff's deputy. The sheriff's deputy recommended everything that Ray Lampley ultimately did, for which he was arrested and is now being tried. You see, Ray Lampley obviously was impressionable. He, too, did not check the background of the people that he associated with. And he took the advice of this infiltrator and did illegal things, unlawful, was arrested, and is now in jail. He is, in fact, undergoing a trial. Muskogee trial is expected to last until the end of the month, ladies and gentlemen. Now let me tell you something else. Just recently it was revealed that the communications between the militia leaders who are monitoring the Montana incident and the militia or so-called militia personnel who are there claiming to be the commanders of militias. In each instance, we have not been able to verify that they are legitimate commanders of any militias, but are there, in fact, representing themselves and no one else. Nevertheless, their communications have been compromised, and some of them have been published in the news. Supposedly secure private communications. I wonder if those communications went through John Parsons. What do you think? I don't really know. But I will tell you this. I warned you a long time ago that there would be a move to infiltrate patriot organizations and militia units. That many patriot organizations and militia units would be destroyed from within by these infiltrators and provocateurs. Others would be manipulated and controlled by these infiltrators and provocateurs. And others would be allowed to operate. But every single word that was mentioned, every meeting, every exercise, every plan, every publication would be duly and quickly relayed. To the federal agency under whose control these infiltrators and provocateurs are. I've also warned you about going off on tangents and claiming to represent people and things that you do not. And I'm talking directly to those of you who are up in Jordan, Montana, claiming to be leaders of legitimate militias. You are not. Threatening the local officials. Setting up command posts and urging other people to come and join you with weapons. You are wrong in what you are doing. You are instigating. You are as bad as the communist news networks who are attempting to instigate the public into some kind of confrontation with the law enforcement officials in Jordan, Montana, who thus far have operated completely within the law, have not attempted to instigate anything, have shown great restraint, and are attempting to prevent any kind of a confrontation. You are doing what you claim that you are resisting from the New World Order, judging people guilty until they can prove themselves innocent. You see, you cannot go up there and arm yourselves for a Waco that has not occurred, or that is not in the process of even looking like it might occur. You have judged those federal officials and those local officials in Jordan, Montana, guilty. And they have done nothing to deserve that judgment. They are attempting to carry out lawful warrants duly executed and signed by a judge. They are in the performance of their duty. And until they deviate from that performance of their duty, you have no lawful reason to be interfering, to be threatening, to be there. Except as civilian individuals who might want to witness in case something does happen. Once again, you're adding fuel to the fire. You are giving ammunition to all of our enemies. You are making us all look like ridiculous, stupid fools. And the terrorists that the press claims that we are, which most of us are not, do not ever wish to be, have no interest in whatsoever. I and everyone that I am associated with and know stand for freedom under the law of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all of the legislation that has been passed that as legal, lawful, and constitutional. We stand for the protection of the rights of all people, no matter the ancestral origin or race, and no matter the religion. Some of you, on the other hand, are acting like little children with cap guns. I got a hoppy pistol. Oh, I have a Gene Autry pistol. Well, I have a brand new roll of caps. Oh, well, I only have 3 caps left, but my caps are bigger than your caps. Most of you have never fought in a genuine battle, do not know or understand what it is that you're wishing for or attempting to bring about. Because if you get your wish, I can guarantee you, most of you will break down into blithering, blathering little crybabies when you see the death and destruction that may arise from your actions. Now, don't get me wrong. I have said this over and over again. The command staff, under which I am directly subordinate, has made a commitment. And most of the militias in this country, if not all, have made the same commitment. There will be no more Wacos. There will be no disarmament of the American people. Any attack upon a legitimately formed, under the law, constitutional militia will be considered an attack upon all militia. But until those things happen, ladies and gentlemen, and I sincerely hope that they never do, there is no legitimate reason whatsoever for any action by any militia. Against any lawfully constituted authority, city, county, state, or federal. You are either within the law or you are outside the law. If you are outside the law, you are not a militia, you are an outlaw. You are a gang. You are thugs. And you may very well be terrorists. Those are facts. If the Freemen are right, their argument will stand up in law. That is a fact. If Mr. Kevorkian can be tried in a common law court, so can the Freemen. If the feds force them to be tried other than common law, and they stick to the proper procedure to challenge jurisdiction and cite the proper law, they will prevail in a court of appeals or at the last court of appeal, the Supreme Court of the United States. which, whether you believe it or not, or know it or not, has ruled in its entire history very, very seldom outside of the true law. If you believe in America, if you believe in the Constitution, then you must believe that the law will prevail. If we see that consistently the law will not prevail, that is another story. That is another matter. But you cannot say that the law will not prevail until you have exhausted every last legal means, all the way up to and including the Supreme Court of the United States of America. I hear people all the time tell me that the court system is corrupt, that it's bad, it's terrible. And granted, you are right, in many instances, the people who operate the courts are corrupt, outlaw, terrible. And it is usually in the lower courts. If you do not appeal, or if you do not have grounds for appeal, or if you do not know how to argue the law properly in order to obtain an appeal, and if you have a chance to appeal and you do not, then you cannot make such a statement. Because it is that appeal process. It is that process of going from court to court until you have exhausted all legal remedies, and a final judgment is made, that you can ever know whether the law is the law, or whether the court's system operates properly or not. I've been studying the law for many years, and in particular, the Supreme Court rulings, for that is the final resting place upon which we stand. And I can tell you that I have only been able to find two legitimate instances in the entire history of the Supreme Court where I believe, and I may be wrong, that they ruled against the law and in favor of a political decision. And that's always one of the dangers that we have when a high court is made up of political appointees. If the balance of the judges who sit upon that court were selected by one political point of view, then all who believe in any other political point of view are in danger. But the history of the Supreme Court speaks for the character of those who sit upon that court. For consistently they have ruled in favor of the real, the true, the proper law, in favor of the Constitution, except for the two incidents that I mentioned, and justice has prevailed. Part of what's happening in America today is being instigated by socialists and communists who want to bring this country to its knees. Throughout the history of the socialist and communist movements, they have attempted to incite insurrection, revolution, by what they call the masses, the uneducated, ill-informed people who react from their heart instead of from their brain, who are easily manipulated by disinformation and lies into doing exactly what they proclaim they are trying to prevent. And I have spent years attempting to educate the American people to this fact. Now I want to know who's listening. And I think you should want to know who is listening. You cannot ever, ever act against the constituted authority unless they have done something that the entire people recognize as wrong, outside the law, against the law, oppressive, tyrannical. If you act and the people do not recognize your action as being right, then you are exactly what you are labeled in the eyes of those people, can be demonized, can be exterminated, can be arrested, can be condemned, can be executed, can be jailed for life, can be destroyed, and that is one of the things that they are hoping that you will do so that those things can be done by them.
The night with the light from above, from the mountain to the pit, through the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Hour of the Time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading, headed up by my good friend, Craig Smith. You know, you can call anyone that you want who deals in precious metals, precious coins, numismatic coins, collector coins, bullion coins, bars, ore, stock, I don't care. See, I've made a lot of sample calls using another name and sort of disguising my voice a little bit. And Swiss America Trading is the only one that I was able to call, and I called a whole bunch, all of them that you hear on shortwave, I can assure you, was the only one that reveals the fact that they receive a commission. They're the only ones that reveal the fact that there's a spread between the buy and sale price of coins, bullion, numismatic, or not numismatic, it doesn't make any difference. They're the only ones who have a buyback policy, ladies and gentlemen, are willing to take a total risk on losing everything. They're the only ones who record the conversation to make sure that nobody cheats anybody. And that's taking quite a risk, you know, because if they did cheat somebody, that tape recording will work against them in a court of law. But they don't. They guarantee what they do. They care. They tell you the truth about the value of the coins, if you're purchasing coins, whether they be bullion coins or numismatic coins. You see, you may call Swiss America Trading, and they may tell you that a certain coin, minted in a certain year, is worth X number of dollars. And all you know is that it's a St. Gaudens $20 gold piece. You see, because you're not a coin expert, you don't understand that the year that it was minted and the condition of the coin means everything. So if they quote you a price of $1,200 and you call another coin dealer and he tells you, oh, $1,200 is way too much for a St. Gaudens $20 gold piece, I can sell you one for $600. He's telling you the truth, but he didn't tell you anything about the condition of the coin, the MS rating, and he didn't tell you anything about the specific value of a coin minted in that year. And so you'll feel that you got took. And this happens quite frequently, ladies and gentlemen, with these people. And so you'll complain, and Swiss America, if you've already purchased the coin,
and you can convince them that they did something wrong or make them feel that you've been hurt in some way, even though you haven't, we'll reimburse your money if it's within a reasonable period of time. They always do that. If I tell them to reimburse it, they'll do it instantly. No questions asked whatsoever. And you'll go to the other coin dealer and buy that $600 St. Gaudens $20 gold piece, which was minted in the millions and is worth probably $600. And will never, ever increase in value. You see, there's a reason one coin is $1,200 and one is six, and one is four, and one is $3,000 and one is $50,000 for the same St. Gaudens $20 gold piece. Looks exactly alike. Only one is in a little bit better condition than all of the others. The next is a little bit better condition than all of the others, but less than the first, and so on and so forth. And then, finally, the last determination, the date that it was minted, the one that's worth $50,000, there may be only two of them in existence in the entire world. Maybe even one. Maybe five. But all of the collectors of that particular type of coin in the entire world have to vie for that coin by bid at auction, and it always increases in value because there are always more and more collectors who want it and who have the money and who will pay the price. That's what you don't understand about all of this, ladies and gentlemen. And when you're dealing with people who don't give you a buyback policy, who don't give you any kind of guarantees, and when you are someone who doesn't know anything about what it is that you're buying, you'd better stick with Swiss America Trading. They guarantee what they do. I guarantee what they do. They have a buyback policy. They record everything. They won't even send what you purchased for about 3 days. And then they'll call you and record again the conversation and go on over every single agreement that you made. If there's any misunderstanding, there is no shipment, there is no purchase, ladies and gentlemen. That's the definition of legitimate, of ethical, of proper behavior in the interest of both you and Swiss America Trading. 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-289-2646. Call now. You'll be real happy that you did.
From the mountain to the prairie.
ladies and gentlemen. Here's one instance. The Supreme Court, I got to tell you, saved a lot of people in its history. The only thing that can really screw us is Congress. Got to tell you that right now. But you see, the Supreme Court ruled a long time ago that all of these laws that they're saying, if you get caught with a weapon and you were speeding, they can sentence you to 30 years in jail simply because you had a weapon and had access, if you wanted to use it, in the commission of your crime, which was speeding in your car. You see, I wear a weapon on my hip all the time. Here in Arizona, it's legal. You can get a concealed carry permit, but I won't do that because you have to get a license to do it. And a license means that you're applying to do something that's illegal when it is our right protected by the second article and amendment of the Constitution and by the forever and ever law that says any sentient being has a right to defend itself, whether it's human, animal, or insect. You see, the Supreme Court has ruled, and all of these convictions and laws are fixing to get tumbled over. And it's going to help the Branch Davidians quite a bit, because part of their sentence was 30 years simply for being near or possessing a firearm. How about that? You see, the Davidians are seeking to reduce their sentences that they received for convictions in connection with the Waco massacre, in which 4 federal agents were killed. One of the 6 was sentenced to 20 years for possessing a grenade. The other 5 received twice that for voluntary manslaughter. After a lengthy trial, ladies and gentlemen, held in San Antonio, the Waco-based U.S. District Judge Walter Smith assessed them 10 years for the crime and an additional 30 years for possessing enhanced firearms, machine guns, and grenades during the commission of the crime. The jury was extremely upset about that because they had found the Branch Davidians not guilty of conspiracy to murder. But the judge, on his own, without any evidence being presented to confirm it and against the verdict of the jury, determined that they had engaged in a conspiracy so that he could add the 30-year sentences based on rulings that co-conspirators share and responsibility for actions taken by other co-conspirators. You see? And it's being appealed. And the appeals court needs to heed the United States Supreme Court, which is good news for the Branch Davidians. You see, in addition to adding on the 30-year sentences on the dubious theory that the Davidians had engaged in a conspiracy, the theory that the jury rejected it, Judge Smith relied on what the government has called the fortress theory. Under the argument of the fortress theory, a sentence can be lengthened even if it wasn't proven that the defendant actually held a weapon, as was the case with at least some of the defendants. The theory holds that simply having access to weapons is enough to embolden the criminal. But you see, folks, last month, a while ago, in a case involving a Washington resident convicted of possession of cocaine, the Supreme Court blasted a gaping hole into the fortress theory, blew the fort right over. This defendant in this case had been caught with cocaine in his car and a 9mm handgun in the trunk. In the trunk! He was given 5 years for the cocaine and an additional 30 years because of the weapon. How insane this country has become. And I'm not mollycoddling criminals. But you deserve to be convicted for the crime that you committed, not one that you might have committed or could have committed if you could have wrenched a telephone pole out of the ground and crushed the brain of a police officer. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody is close to a weapon. But the agenda is to disarm the American people. So anything that can legitimately be used in defense of an individual or in defense of our freedoms against an encroaching, tyrannical, oppressive, outlaw government, which this may become, they're trying very hard, must be demonized. The Supreme Court ruled, ladies and gentlemen, that the government must show that the defendant actively employed the firearm during and in relation to the predicate crime. In the brief, defending Smith's sentencing, written well before the Supreme Court ruling, Justice Department lawyers, ladies and gentlemen, specifically relied on the fortress theory. They quote the judge as saying each defendant had either actual or constructive possession of the numerous fully automatic weapons and hand grenades present. Now, I can assure you that the government never proved that they were in possession of automatic weapons, and I am not sure about hand grenades. They were in possession of things that could have been put together to make hand grenades. That is true. But I also have to tell you that most homes in the United States have inside those homes the ingredients that when put together properly could make hand grenades. Are you all guilty? I don't think so. Under the Supreme Court ruling, constructive possession, meaning defendants had access to the weapons, would not be enough, and that's good news for the Branch Davidians. And folks, remember at the beginning of this little revelation here, I said that the Supreme Court had ruled on this long, long ago. Well, they have. Throughout the history of this country, they've ruled on this issue. And you can find it in the old books. And now they have again reiterated and ruled on it again. That if you didn't actually commit the crime, you cannot be convicted for something that you might have done. As a matter of justice, as well as law, it would be well for the sentences of the Branch Davidians to be reduced or thrown out altogether. I can tell you it would go a long way to healing the rift between the United States government and the people of America. Let me see here. Oh, here we go. The last item that I have tonight. When this Bosnia thing first erupted, long, long before we ever even said we were sending troops over there, I did a couple of broadcasts on that situation, and I said unequivocally, without reservation, that the United States would send troops to Bosnia. We did. I was right. I said it 2 full years before we did it. And all during that time, whenever the question came up, I said, without hesitation, without qualifying, absolutely, the United States would send troops to Bosnia. People questioned that war, and I said that that war was a manipulated, created war that would eventually be used to make the New World Order stronger, and that is exactly what is happening. I was right in both cases, and then I was right in another case, ladies and gentlemen, because I made the statement on the air, and I made it several times. How can these people keep on fighting, ladies and gentlemen, if there is an embargo on all weapons, ammunition, and chemicals, and goods, and metals that can be used to manufacture weapons and ammunition? And the answer was, oh, they have weapons factories in those countries. Well, they might have, ladies and gentlemen, but how much raw material do they have? And how long can it last in the midst of a war? You see, it's impossible. I made the statement that one or both sides were being supplied by a major power to enable the war to continue to be fought. And I made the statement that the major power is most probably the United States of America under the auspices of the Central Intelligence Agency acting upon orders of the President. It has just come out, ladies and gentlemen, that I was right again. On April 5th, the Los Angeles Times revealed that Bill Clinton directly participated in a decision to let Iran covertly supply arms to the Bosnian Muslims from early 1994 through January 1996, even as our troops were being deployed and were supposed to be acting as peacekeepers. Bill Clinton is participating in funneling arms shipments to the Bosnian Muslims, endangering our own troops. And that the White House had deliberately kept the congressional committees in the dark about its secret plot. Even, they say, the CIA wasn't in on the scam until it accidentally stumbled upon it in the fall of 1994. I tell you, that is a lie. Because it could not have been done without the Central Intelligence Agency, and it is the job of the Central Intelligence Agency to know where those arms are coming from and who is supplying them. President Clinton's spokespeople have not disputed the Los Angeles Times story, but merely claimed that no laws were broken. And I say bullshit. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. In fact, the bullshit is getting so deep in this country that we're all in danger of drowning. No laws were broken? Really? In the middle of a war, we have troops, ladies and gentlemen, whose duty it is to keep the peace, it amounts to treason. In that war, before we even sent anyone to Bosnia, ladies and gentlemen, where it was the policy of the United States government to participate in an embargo by treaty and agreement of the United Nations and the other countries who agreed to it, and who made these treaties, who made these agreements, even though I disagree with our participation in the United Nations, it is stabbing all of those other countries and all of those agreements and treaties in the back. It means the United States has lied. It means that our official policy that we said we were set about was a lie to the American people, that the truth is that President Clinton, the Central Intelligence Agency in the United States government, was officially sanctioning, encouraging, and promoting the war in Bosnia, in order to bring about a situation where Bill Clinton could go over there and sue for peace and be the great world peace leader and send over a United Nations police force and United Nations peacekeepers disguised as NATO troops and create a United Nations protectorate state in what used to be known as Yugoslavia, Bosnia, the Balkans, in order to hasten the formation and to grant power to the coming totalitarian world socialist government. Bill Clinton is a liar. He is a socialist. He is most probably a communist. He is a traitor. And he is actively setting about destroying the United States of America. And if you don't know that, you're either participating in the same activities or you haven't been watching. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless you all.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again, it's just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today, but the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
All patriots living in the vicinity of Kingman, Arizona, all patriots living in the vicinity of Kingman, Arizona, there is a high probability of danger that will exist for the next 48 hours, and in particular, tomorrow, between 4 p.m. and 2 a.m. A particular point of danger is the Kingman Airport Complex area and within 25-mile radius of the center of Kingman, Arizona. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say. There ain't no doubt.